Good morning. Happy Mother's Day again to the mothers. I told my wife she couldn't be a mother without me. Amen. So I get some credit today too. Amen. And on Father's Day, we can give her some credit. Thank you, brother, for bringing out the lesson this morning. I remember when I was younger in the Lord and wanting to understand this idea of alcohol and wine and the Bible and what it talks about, strong drink. There's a classic work, if I remember correctly, I think it's called Bible Wines and Laws of Fermentation. And it's a little book, and it's just the classic work on helping you to rightly divide the word of truth. And it's always important when you come to a subject such as that, where it can be controversial, that you want to understand the context in which it's being written and who is offering it or who is it being offered to. And that'll solve most of the problem when it comes to those that want to justify the idea of social drinking. The best route to take is complete and total abstinence. Amen. Don't let it touch your lips. And praise the Lord, I know that there's probably some here that they've never tasted it. And what a blessing that is. Because, you know, once you get the taste of something, it's hard to break it, especially something as that. The spirit that is involved in that is one that can really take you further than you want to go. And as they say, cost you more than you want to pay and keep you longer than you want to stay. And so it's best just to stay away from it from the get-go. And just like any drug, and we try to teach our children that too, just abstain from it, amen? And even the appearance of it. Amen. And the places that deal with it, just stay away from it, amen? Okay, Exodus 20, please. We are now in verse 15. We've now made it to the eighth commandment. Thou shalt not steal. And as we look at this commandment, we understand that it's on the second table of the two stones. That dealing with our relationship towards man. Now, granted, we can steal from God, and we'll talk about that too. But when we look at a simple definition, we all understand what stealing is, and we know that it's wrong. We've been told it's wrong. What I find is interesting is when you try to have a law or a standard, the thou shalls and thou shall nots, or why is it wrong to steal? Well, because it's just not right to take somebody else's stuff. Well, yeah, that's right. But even more than that, it's because God said, amen, thou shalt not steal. To steal something is it's an unjust act of taking or keeping to ourselves what is lawfully somebody else's. And this commandment deals with how we treat others' property. And stealing is nothing new. It goes all the way back to the garden. Because if you remember, the very first sin, Eve was a thief. God basically said, this is my tree, leave it alone. It's mine. But when she lusted after it, she saw that it was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and desired to make one wise, she took, the Bible said. Genesis 3:6, it said, she took of the fruit. And then we see many instances thereafter that give us an example or an idea of what stealing is or what theft is, and then how God feels about it. And that's always important. There's something in the Bible word hermeneutics, the study of the scriptures, the study of the Bible, a first mention principle. When something is first mentioned in the Bible, you want to, that kind of gives you a road map of how it's going to be dealt with later on in the scriptures. And we saw how severely this was judged in the scriptures, where God basically, because of what Eve did and then Adam, thrust him out of the garden and would not allow them back into the garden. And so, and then as we follow it on, so let's just look at some of these instances. And again, this may be pretty simple stuff to begin with, but hopefully we can bring some out as we, some deeper truth as we move further on. So we were in Genesis. There's other examples. Let's turn to Joshua chapter 7. Joshua chapter 7. Here we see where theft is dealt with very severely. In Joshua 7 and verse 1, We learn about Achan. As the children of Israel went into Jericho, they were to utterly destroy everything about Jericho. And then there's another, because there's a principle there. There's a deeper truth there, that the first belongs to God. That was the first city that they were going in. God said, just utterly destroy everything. Don't take anything. It's not yours. But it says here in verse 1, but the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zariah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing. See that word? He took. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And if you're not familiar with the passage, what happens is Joshua finds out with the Lord's help. They separate the tribe. They separate the family all the way down to Achan. And if we look here in verse 24, the Bible says this. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold. Okay, what he took. But now look at what else they do. And his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had. Everything that belonged to this man. What did they do? And they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones. And if that wasn't enough, and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. Achan was Achan. It wasn't worth it. Was it? In the end, and you never know the crime that you commit, how it can affect your family, your children, your spouse, all of your substance, everything that Achan had, everything that he worked for, everything that he loved, everything that he held near and dear was now gone because he took of the accursed thing. He took what belonged to God. What about John? Let's go to the New Testament. John chapter 12. We know who was a thief. Well, Judas. Judas was a thief, John 12. He had the bag and he bare what was put therein, the Bible said. John 12 and verse 6. Here Mary is doing a very special thing for Jesus and anointing him. And Judas was like, hey, wait a second. What's going on here? Why wasn't this ointment sold? We could have got a lot of money for it. He missed the whole point of what was going on. Verse 6, this he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. You see how his motive was not that of, he had an ulterior motive. Why? He wanted to take that ointment instead of use it on Jesus. He wanted to sell it and then give it to the poor so he could look very pious. But no, it said, this he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. This kind of sounds like our government, huh? And again, theft can go from the government to the gutter. Everyone can take place, whether it's a white-collar, blue-collar, no-collar crime. Anybody can do that which is wrong. Look at chapter 13 and verse 27. Look what it says here. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. He was speaking to Judas there. You open yourself to all kind of evil when you allow lust, uncontrolled lust, to take over your life and to do those things which are not right. And that's what Judas did. And we know that in the end, he never repented. He went and he hung himself. His place of repentance was past. And the money that he gained from delivering our Lord up to the governors was not even worth it because he couldn't even use it. Let's go to Acts chapter 5, another New Testament passage, Acts chapter 5. So what are we doing? Why are we looking at these verses? Because we're kind of seeing what happens when somebody steals. Is it really worth it? Is it right? How does God feel about it? Here we learn of Ananias and Sapphira. In Acts 5, they sold a possession and they kept back part of their property. Well, what's wrong with that? Nothing's wrong with that. But they said, here, this is everything. This was what we sold it for. They were lying. So not only were they lying, and oftentimes liars are thieves too, and thieves are liars and vice versa, because when you get involved with one, you the other is right there with it. So they lied, and look at what it said here in verse 9. Then Peter said unto her, well, basically verse 3, we see Ananias die and following, and then the wife. But Peter said, verse 3, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And what happened? Verse 5, he fell dead. Just like that. And then what happened in verse 9? Then Peter said unto her, he asked the question, verse 8, he gives her an opportunity. God will always give you an opportunity to repent. God will always give you an opportunity to make it right. That temptation or that trial that is about to overtake you, there'll be a way of escape. Verse 8, and Peter answered unto her, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much? And she said, yea, for so much. She lied. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. She fell dead also. Great fear came upon all the church, it says there in verse 11. You see, people lie, people steal because of sin. And we know that the devil is a thief, Jesus said in John chapter 10. He's the father of lying and stealing. And Jesus said, when we do those things, ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. And so the question this morning is, are we thieves? Am I a thief? We don't want to think that Christians would steal, but in our day we find that professors of religion with no character steal all the time and think nothing of it. If you have no integrity, if you have no honesty, if you have no fear of God, you'll be a thief. If you have no love for your neighbor, because ultimately that's who we're offending when we offend God, because we love God first and foremost and then our neighbor as ourselves. And I think a big part of this, obviously, is the day and age which we live in. We don't have sound preaching from our pulpits with sound doctrine and sound principles, and people get involved in things that they shouldn't. And it runs rampant through our society at all levels. And I dare say that there's not been a time where we haven't been involved in this sin at some point in time in our life, and maybe more than once. And that's why the Bible can say that all have sinned and come short the glory of God. We're all condemned. We're all guilty of violating one of these commandments. And this is a pretty easy commandment to break.
Yes.
And so, first and foremost, let's go back to Exodus. Let's go to Exodus 19. We must understand that all belongs to God anyways. Anything that we can see, feel, touch, whatever it may be, it belongs to God. Amen. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Exodus 19 in verse 5. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Okay? Everything belongs to God. And so we must understand this. We must know this, that all belongs to God. So if I am taking from somebody else, though I may not think I'm taking from God, I am taking from God. God gave and entrusted that to somebody else, not me. And now I'm taking that from somebody, I'm violating them, but I'm also violating God. Every good gift comes from God, comes from above.
Yes.
Turn to 1 Chronicles 29. 1 Chronicles 29. God gives to us freely of things. And he even told David that, listen, hey, I would have given you thus and thus. You didn't have to go and take that which belonged to somebody else. Remember when we talked about adultery, how that's stealing, it's theft? And God basically confirms that when he said, listen, I would have given you those things.
Right.
but you went and you took it. If you would have just asked. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 12. Let's start in verse 11. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. So God gives us these things. It comes from God. And so why do we steal? Well, because people get discontent, because they're covetous. They have no understanding of God's word. They have no fear of God. They have no character. And so when we talk about theft, and we're going to break some down here real quick, obviously there's different types of theft. And there's different types of crimes. And again, there may be a sin of omission where that was wrong and I didn't know, whether because I was ignorant or I wasn't learned in the scriptures of it. And then there's sins of commission where we know what we're doing and we know that it's wrong that we're taking. And so what about, let's turn to Psalm 37, please. Psalm 37. What about the person that borrows and returns not? Is that theft? Whether it's money, whether it's material, whatever it may be, if it originally belonged to somebody else and now you have it, that's theft. You took that from somebody. If you haven't given it back, again, from the simplest things, and yes, we might have to get into the nitty-gritty, but we want to open this up so we see. So sin can be exceedingly sinful. Books, clothes, tools, kitchen utensils, again, whatever it may be, from the smallest thing to the greatest thing. If you borrow it and break it, fix it. It's not yours. It belonged to somebody else. If you borrow it and use it, fill it back up. Amen. But property in the scriptures, property damage required compensation. If you wrecked something that was not yours and it was somebody else's, you took care of that. Right. And we kind of understand that in our society for the most part, but it doesn't always happen. And this comes back to just honesty. You don't want to give something back to somebody and you know that there's something wrong with it that you did to it, because that's wrong, right?
Yes.
That's wrong. Psalm 37 and verse 21, the wicked borroweth and payeth not again. And this is tough because we all deal with things such as loans and debts and bankruptcies and those kind of things in our day and age, especially when they're just helicoptering money all over the place for anybody to take, and rates are going to be their bottom shelf, and people are going to borrow, and people get in trouble, and then they can't pay, and it's difficult and it's tough. But that still doesn't change what the scriptures teach concerning this truth. And we've fallen victim to this, many of us, especially in our culture, in our society. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:28, let him that stole steal no more. Just don't do it. Romans 2:21, it said, if you're going to be preaching or if you're going to be professing religion, dost thou steal? Do you do that which is wrong, but yet you try to act right? And so let's just remember these things. Sometimes we need to be reminded that, yes, there are scriptures concerning this, and there are principles behind this. And if we find ourselves in the wrong, then we need to try to make it right the best we can. What about taking advantage of another individual? Could that be considered stealing? Maybe depending on the context. Or taking advantage of a seller of something, like buyer's ignorance. The Bible has much to say about false weights and measures. That if you're trying to deceive somebody with making them think that they're getting more than they actually are, that's wrong. Not fully disclosing what is wrong with something, misrepresenting a product. This happens, doesn't it? Selling a vehicle. oh, there's nothing wrong with that thing. Rattle, ratter, thunder, clatter, boom, 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 and it's a piece of junk. But we mandate it, or we cover, or we don't want them to look over there at that spot or touch that thing because something could break or fall, or we know what's wrong. Or when it comes to the home, no, there's never been any leaks in this basement. I mean, it's just,
right.
Yes, we want to sell. Whatever it is that we may have. Yes, we want to get the most that we can out of something, but are we going to violate our own conscience while we do it? That's wrong. It's dishonest. We want to have a testimony of being right. What if you get the incorrect change back? You know, some kid that can't even count, which most can't today. And they give you back more than you're supposed to have. And you're just like, okay, great. No, hey,
that's right.
Dumbo. No, you wouldn't say that. You gave me back $1.50 too much. Turn with me to Proverbs 11. Since we're in Psalms here, let's go close, Proverbs 11. And so as you can see, this whole scope of theft, the law, yes, thou shalt not steal. But what are the principles behind it? Because listen, if you want to have a testimony, if you want to be an individual of integrity and honesty and have character, then you're going to try to embrace the principles behind that. So then you don't violate that, thou shalt not this, thou shalt not that, thou shalt not the other. Proverbs 11 and verse 1, a false balance is abomination to the Lord. But a just weight is his delight. God likes it when things are done right, not wrong. Look at Proverbs 20. Proverbs 20. He says here, Proverbs 20 and verse 10, diverse weights and diverse measures, meaning all different kinds, both of them are alike abomination to the Lord. Especially in that day and age when you had to trust the weight of something, you know, it could be shaved, alloys or whatever could be added to that metal to give it extra weight. And what that's just being deceitful. It's being dishonest. And yes, everybody wants to get ahead. Everybody wants to do better. But there's right ways to do it, is there not? There's the laws of sowing and reaping. If you're honest and you work hard and you put in a good day's labor, you're going to get paid for that. But if you're dishonest and deceitful, yes, you may get ahead for a little bit, but eventually those chickens are going to come home to roost.
Right.
That when you sow to the wind, it's good. You'll reap a whirlwind.
Yes.
But did you sow wrong? Because you're going to reap that wrong. We want to sow right, amen? And so let's have a testimony. Let's be honest. False weights, all that stuff, the disclosing of things. Romans 12, 17 says that we're provided things honest in the sight of all men. We just want to be honest in our dealings. And whether that's in your place of business, when you're dealing with others, when you're buying, when you're selling, whatever it may be, let's just be right, okay? I have another verse here. I forgot what it was here. It says in, this is a good one, Matthew 7, 12. You don't have to turn there. I'll read it. It says, therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. This encompasses everything that we believe about our God and how we are to live. Whatsoever things you would have that men do to you, do to them. I remember there was this little movie we watched one time. It was one of those Christian movies by the church that puts out these movies. And I think it was dealing with the sale of a car. And the man that was selling the car to the pastor knew that it wasn't right. Something was wrong either about the car or the price was so much more than it should have been. And it was really great because after they did the deal, the pastor said, well, let's pray, you know. And he said, I pray, Lord, that you would treat this man 5 times, 10 times greater than he's treated me, that you would do this to him, you know, because he thought he was doing him right. And so he was just happy, you know, reward him 10 times for what he's done to me. And that guy's just like, oh, no, because he did wrong. He knew he did wrong. So let's not do wrong. Let's do right. Okay. So and let's return what is found. Amen. If it's not yours, you find a wallet on the road, you find money, somebody gets up from the table and there's money laying under there. If you can catch them and give them their money, give them their money. It's not finders, keepers, losers, weepers, as we used to say, maybe when we were little. Hopefully nobody says that today, you know, but no, it doesn't belong to me. It belongs to somebody else. Again, shoplifting, that's understandable. We know that that's stealing. Burglary, receiving stolen goods, we need to be careful of that. The Bible says in 1 Peter 4:15, let none of you suffer as a thief. There's no reason that we should suffer as a thief. We should not take advantage of another's time. Like an employee-employer relationship, would that be considered stealing? Is there a principle there? Let's not take advantage of another's time or their treasure. Let's not gain on the back of another because that's theft. Using him or using his means is wrong. It's not right. Turn to Jeremiah 22. Jeremiah 22. Now, again, in the whole idea of the employer-employee relationship, there's a lot that employees can do wrong when it comes to theft, whether property or time. Jeremiah 22 and verse 13. Woe unto him that buildeth his house by unrighteousness and his chambers by wrong. Okay, explain it, Lord. That useth his neighbor's service without wages and giveth him not for his work. Hey, he helped. He did something for you. Repay him, amen? Pay him for what he's worth. Don't take advantage of another individual. The Bible says that no man is to go beyond and defraud his brother in any manner. We're not to cheat or to overreach or to take advantage of. Okay? And this obviously is dealing with our relationship with men. But more importantly, what about from God? We steal from God. We steal from his time. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. We steal when we don't honor that. His day, the whole day, he's bought us with his precious blood. It's the least we can do. We can redeem our time and we can schedule ourselves that we can live for him. And we're not going to take from him. What about his tithe? We rob God of his tithe when he gives unto us and he just asks 10%. And that's just to show ownership that you belong to him. The Bible says in Malachi 3, 8 and 9, will a man rob God? He said, that's kind of like we already know the answer to the question because, yes, men will rob God. If you will rob me and you can see me, you're going to rob God who you can't see. Amen. And people do it all the time. He said, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and in offerings you have robbed me. And he said, you are cursed with a curse. He said, when you do those things, it's like taking your money that you get and putting it into a bag with holes in it. You can't hang on to that. Or the devourer is going to come and devour that which you're trying to keep. Things are going to go wrong. Things are going to break. You're going to spend money where you don't want to spend money. So, but we steal from his time, his tithe, his thanksgiving. Amen. His praise. We steal when we don't praise him and thank him. And give him the honor due his name. The Bible says, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Don't take it for yourself. If God has enabled you to do something and somebody acknowledges that, you don't take that to yourself. Praise be to God. God enabled me to do that. God allowed me to do that. God helped me in that. And so let's just put in some honest work, amen. Let's do right between man. Let's do right with God. In the Bible, we see that Jesus judged it, this sin, when he cleansed the temple, when they were stealing inside there. Jesus forgave this sin when he converted the tax collector, amen. He forgave that sin. And then Jesus also bore this sin. Where did he hang? Between two what? Thieves, the Bible said. Two thieves. And so in conclusion, we know that theft is wrong, but thieves can be saved, amen? And if our conscience is bothering us from having stolen from others or from God in the past, it's just not necessarily sufficient to confess. We have to confess and repent, amen? A repentance is a change of mind that results in a change of action. What did Levi, the tax collector, say? If I've taken from any man wrongfully, I'm going to give it back. If you steal my wallet, there's not much in here anyways, but if you steal my wallet, you come to me and say, brother, I'm so sorry for stealing your wallet. Would you please forgive me? Yes, I'll forgive you. But I want my wallet back too. Right? I want that back which you stole. And so, listen, let's give God due what's him and our fellow man what's due him or her. And let's just try to live honest, upright lives as Christian individuals. Amen. It's not too much to ask. God's given us a path to follow. God's given us some boundaries. God's given us his word that we can follow. Amen. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this Sunday school lesson. I pray that you'd bless it to our hearts, that we could truly live a life void of this sin. But we know, Lord, that our eyes behold vanity every day, and we become covetous. And Father, we want to take that which belongs to somebody else or that which belongs to you, and we want to keep it for ourselves. Lord, would you help us to not do this? Would you help us, Father, to be content and satisfied with such things that you've given us, and Lord, that you would help us to be grateful for the extra that you give, and thank you for it. And this we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You're dismissed.